it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon, official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. Mason Crosby off today. He's off tomorrow. He'll be in studio on Thursday after his couple days off. Looking forward to having Mason back in studio. Mitch Thunder-Nellis, who normally is doing the show with him, he's hosting 11 to 2, middays with Thunder, but he'll be in at 10 o'clock. We're going to split this show, filling in for Mason Crosby today and tomorrow. Tommy Wirtz, as always, he's the rock. He's never off. He doesn't take days off. He works every single day, all day long, and appreciate Tommy Wirtz for hanging out. Joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, is Tyler Brook. Follow him on Twitter at Tyler D. Brook. Check him out as Best Available on YouTube. I've been trying to get this dude on my show for like a year, and in the afternoons, man is the busiest man alive and can't figure it out in the afternoon. So now I get the chance to fill in today, and I reached out Tommy, text Tommy last night. I was like, hey, man, who do we got tomorrow? He's like, oh, I got Tyler Brook. I was like, get the heck out of here. I was like, I've been trying to get that dude forever, man. Tyler, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, of course, man. Listen, when coaching high school ball made it a lot harder to show up in those afternoons. But hey, got the YouTube channel going. I can kind of be my own boss right now.
Nice.
So hey, whenever you need me, Sparky, I'll
be all right. So tell me about the high school thing real quick before we get into the Packers. Are you a position coach? You a head coach? What are we?
Yeah, so I'm not coaching this year, but the last 3 years I've been with Carmel High School, the Carmel Greyhounds in Indiana.
Man, get out of here. Yeah. My buddy lives in Carmel. I know that town really well.
Yeah, it's anyone that knows it is most likely because of a TikTok about the high school that went kind of viral for how insane it is. But that's probably where I've learned the most about football, not just from the tactics perspective, but like really what goes into it, like the camaraderie, the mentorship, all of that. Been some of the most rewarding years of my life. I will still be around, hopefully, next year. But hey, man, they're off to a great start. They got kids committing to all these D1 programs that I coached when they were freshmen. So that's a pretty surreal feeling.
It's not really coaching when you have that much talent. You're kind of just pushing them out of the field and don't do something stupid when you're out there. I mean, you got that much talent. It's not the same thing. Like I was texting with a friend of mine last night and he was like, yeah, I was coaching my JV1 team. We won 56-0. I was like, come on, man. Seriously. That is crazy to win something 56-0 in high school football at that point. All right, Tyler. So we got you on, obviously, talking about the Green Bay Packers in the NFC and how this all looks. And I've never coached high school football, but I know good. And this Packers defense not only looks good, they may look great. And it looks like they may be one of the fastest teams in the NFL. I mean, we saw the Texans last night, and they were talking about how great the Texans were and how fast they were. Packers are right there with them.
You know, there was a time not too long ago where if the Packers faced a mobile quarterback, I was legitimately nervous all week.
Agreed.
Like all week. Every time the Commanders went on the field on Thursday night, I was with a buddy, which is very rare for me. I don't get to watch.
You don't have friends or just
No. It's just the standalone games are my opportunity to actually like be social.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm sitting next to him and he's a huge Packers fan too. We look at each other like, are you even remotely nervous? And he's like, no, not even a little bit.
Yep.
It's everything about the defense is a cohesive unit right now. You have an elite pass rush. Like there's no denying it, which was the biggest weakness last year. You've got these two incredibly productive linebackers in Edger and Cooper, who's, you know, really getting his mental side underneath him. And then Quay Walker, I think, has taken a huge step forward through two games on film. That's a guy that's no longer hesitating and is just going, 100%. I was going to use a different phrase. And then I think the secondary by national media outlets got hammered, like truly hammered over the offseason. Keyshawn Nixon, even from last year's tape, was a better outside corner than slot. I don't know why it took until this long in his NFL career for people to realize that. But, you know, obviously the tape shows itself from Thursday. He was unbelievable in that game. I think Carrington Valentine's an ascending player. I still want to see what they've got in Nate Hobbs, but then a back end of, you know, an all pro in Xavier McKinney. I think Evan Williams is, you know, an above average to very good starter. And then Javon Bullard, who, you know, he's taken some lumps, but I thought Thursday was one of his best games. Like it's such a complimentary defense with so much depth everywhere that like it might be the best defense in football, but we just need to remember, you can't say nice things about Jeff Hafley.
I was going to go
let
there.
Him get a head coaching job.
I was going to go there next, because Packers Twitter is very much about just ripping Jeff Hafley at every single time with random crap. You know, he doesn't shower. You know, he really stinks in the office. Like, all random stuff, right? Try to throw people off about Jeff Hafley. But, I mean, just let's go back to what you just said, right? So, Quay Walker looks the best he's looked. And it took Hafley a little bit last year to unlock Quay Walker. He unlocked him about 2 weeks before he got hurt. So he figured him out. The Keyshawn Nixon thing, he's been only a special teams player. Hafley, I'm going to give him credit there too for figuring out Keyshawn Nixon and where he's best suited. We could talk about Hafley, you know, being a great schemer and that type of stuff. But he really understands how to put players in the best position possible. And I, you know, I don't want to throw a ton of shade at Joe Barry, but it doesn't appear like he knew what the heck he was doing.
The third and shorts where the corners were playing super off was maddening, but
yes,
you're totally right. I think the thing that Hafley does so well is how we always talk about being multiple on defense. I really think he lives by that. Like, the amount of versatility and getting guys in the right situations, like, you're seeing LVN be unlocked. This is a guy that has really struggled on the edge and was still trying to figure it out last year. And then they're like, well, why don't we at times just kick him inside to interior rush? And then we'll drop him in coverage because he's this elite giant athlete. And he looked pretty dang good on there. I was kind of shocked in week one when they were doing that stuff. It's just utilizing the talents over, you know, what you think your scheme should be. I think it's one of the biggest things at any level of football is you can get so married to your scheme. And if it doesn't fit the players, it's never going to work. You've got to build around what you have. And when you can unlock that, the best example in all of football over the last decade is Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Like, now he is an elite passer, but early on when he was still trying to figure out how to read defenses and things like that, they catered the offense to his rushing ability. And that's why he was so phenomenally successful early on and allowed him to build on that. And I just think it's such an important part of football that tends to be overlooked, but it's just always like the best coaches mirror, basically adjust their scheme to what they have.
Talking about a great film analyst, we have one right here with us, Tyler Brook. Follow him on Twitter at Tyler D. Brook. Find him on YouTube. Search Best Available on YouTube for all of his film breakdowns. He's one of the best out there. I've been watching him for a while. Let's talk a little bit about Quay Walker, Devontae White, because we were talking about this before you came on, Tommy and myself, as far as, okay, it appears they're going to pay Quay Walker. They're going to give him an extension. And then there's the Devontae Wyatt aspect of this. And as we talked it out, I'm like, you know, I think Goody doesn't really give a crap who his big fat guy is in the middle. He's just going to go draft another one to come in and do the same thing. Hey, you look, he lets Kenny Clark go. No real hesitation, it doesn't appear, because it appears Clark was in the Trey Hendrickson deal if they would have got that done. You let Slayton walk. He leaves. He goes somewhere else. Devontae Wyatt is playing really well. I like Devontae Wyatt a lot, but then you look at the rest of them, and you've got a bunch of other guys that are playing well. Colby Wooden is taking another step. Maybe, just maybe, Goody looks at that position and goes, I can draft guys. I do that really well. I know what I'm looking for that position. I'll just pick and replace, and we're not going to spend a ton of money there.
I think it becomes more of a luxury when you have the linebackers that the Packers do. If you don't have two of those guys, like, even if it was just Cooper and let's say Walker was a replacement level player, you need to emphasize the D-line a bit more. But right now, what you really need those guys to do is eat up some blocks, don't get washed out, and let the linebackers clean everything up. That being said, the D-line is definitely outperforming through 2 weeks. Like you said, I think Colby Wooden's had a nice start, seen a couple flashes from Brooks, but not too much. But Wyatt, man, has been truly dominant. I think last year early on, we really saw that he could be a consistent pass rusher when healthy.
And then he got hurt.
Yeah, and then he got hurt, but he's taken a big step forward. I was not expecting him to hit someone with a spin move on Thursday night.
Yes.
That was one of my favorite plays of the game, because when they showed the replay, I was like, did that just happen? Is that what I thought? I still want Wyatt to stay. I think he is such a productive player. I think it's actually kind of rare to find that consistent of a pass rusher on the interior. But from a run-stopping standpoint, I'm kind of with you in this logic. Like, Nazir Stackhouse is a UDFA that's going in there. You know, he's not getting a ton of reps right now, but he can play nose and eat up a double team, anchor down, and just open things up for the linebackers.
It could be Stackhouse and Brinson in a couple of years. That could be your two defensive guys in front of the Georgia guy, Quay Walker. The other player I want to talk about, because I want to know, man, Lucas Van Ness. I had Zilch. No faith in Lucas Van Ness coming into this year as far as taking another step. I had none. And right away, you see him make a play or two in week one. You see him make a play here in week two. Has anything really changed, or is it simply the Micah Parsons effect?
It is the Micah Parsons effect. Let me walk that back a little bit. I think a lot of his problems early on were just, I'm going to do one thing. And even then, I don't think he was great at that one thing, which is just trying to engage at contact with power. I think it's a lot more fluid now. He definitely looks a little trimmer. He looks a little more fluid. So he can play off of his bull rush into, you know, a couple of pass rush moves. He's got a little more of a bag than he did. But the bigger factor is absolutely the Micah Parsons gravity. And I did a video on this at Best Available as the trade happened. If you watch the Dallas film, the amount of attention that gets put on Micah Parsons on the average pass rush leads to guys getting open on the other side. And a clip went viral from Thursday night. The center is so worried about Micah that he's looking that way for like a twist or a stunt. And Quay on a blitz just runs right past him for a free shot at Jaden Daniels. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about that makes this pass rush so dangerous is, you know, Rashawn Gary and LVN are very good, like respectable NFL players. When you add a Hall of Fame pass rusher to that mix, it makes things, it's like easy mode for the rest of the guys. And what's funny is even though it's easy mode for these other two, Parsons is still getting pressure. He had eight pressures on Thursday night, and it's double teamed. It's fighting through holds. The thing I kind of knew, but just seeing it in the team you root for, that motor is white hot. Like, it does not matter how many guys are blocking him, if they're holding him, if there's a hand in his face, he is going until the whistle blows at 110% speed. And it's why he is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Football Talk on the Fan brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL games live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. That would be $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Being joined by Tyler Brook, Best Available on YouTube. Search Best Available on YouTube. Follow him on Twitter at Tyler D. Brook. I'd like to transition over to the offense, if you don't mind, sir. Your thoughts on the Escalade, Mr. Belton, at right tackle in his performance, as I'm sure he's probably going to get another opportunity maybe here against Cleveland.
I love that he's getting reps in this context of the schedule, but I don't think he's ready to be a full-time starter, and that's fine. Like, this was exactly the evaluation I had on him out of NC State, is this is a giant, powerful dude that is mean, and you can't coach those things. I don't think you can get a guy to be mean like Belton is. The problem is the technique's pretty sloppy. I think his feet and hands need to get better so that he's like a little bit more in control, not lunging, not holding. Obviously, that holds to negate Jaden Reed's touchdown as he gets injured was a real, you know, unfortunate issue. So, like, there's a lot to clean up, but you can't doubt his willingness and attitude.
Dude, that play that went viral, he's holding a block, and a guy next to him is holding a block, and he decides to help and chip and, like, shoves the guy 3 yards away by just chipping him.
Yeah. Yes, he's a big boy. I wonder if his future is at guard, but this is my favorite part about being a Green Bay Packers fan with Adam Stenovich on that coaching staff. These guys can play everywhere. It's one of the things I'm most fascinated about in the NFL right now, because there's not another team that is so comfortable playing every player on their offensive line at basically all five positions. And then they do the "we're going to swap drives" thing, like they've done it at guard with Sean Ryan and Jordan Morgan.
I hate that. I absolutely hate that.
I think the way I see it early on in the season is just getting guys reps in case something happens in the playoffs, because you need a guy. You don't want what happened in Philly. You don't want, Travis Glover going out there and being completely unprepared and costing your offense all of that. So it is so untraditional. It's so confusing. It's so weird. But I am fascinated by it because I think – go ahead.
Go on. I was going to say, I agree with you on Belton at guard. The Jordan Morgan pick, anybody that listens to me knows I was completely against that pick when they made it. I wanted a cornerback. I didn't think that was the best pick at that point. But I also said, look, if he ends up being like a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle, I'll be happy to be wrong. But if he's a Pro Bowl guard, I'm still going to be mad they didn't take a cornerback. If he's a Pro Bowl right tackle, I'm still going to be mad they didn't take a cornerback. The only way this, in my opinion, works is if he's at left tackle. We've seen him at tackle a little bit. Now we're seeing him at guard again. That's where we've seen him at most. What is he in your mind?
After watching him at guard, he's a tackle to me, 100%. I don't want to be mean about it. I thought it was really bad early on for Jordan Morgan at guard. And now, granted, I really think he turned it around. I think he settled in a lot. But that opening drive was really concerning for him at guard. I just think his skill set, he's a lighter guy. I think the way he moves, the way he does technique, I just think he is a left tackle. And maybe that, you know, puts into question what Rashid Walker's future is in Green Bay. But, like, I don't know if it's the end of the world. They've got incredible value out of Rashid Walker. But I just, from what I've watched, it's kind of funny that Belton was playing tackle and I think he's a guard, and Morgan was playing guard, yep, and I think he's a tackle. But again, I just think it's one of those things, especially in week two, like, just let these guys get their feet wet at all these positions, especially if you're going to keep winning. Like, who really cares in that point? Just let these guys get, you know, meaningful game reps. I found it very interesting that Matt LaFleur called Jordan Morgan as presser the sixth starter. I thought that was a very interesting comment. So I'm just very curious to see. My guess is you're going to see a lot more of Morgan rotating in, even when everyone's healthy. And it might be at other positions besides just swapping in now with Ryan.
If he wasn't picked where he was picked, is this happening?
I still think it is. You know, I don't want to say that.
Like, say he was a third or fourth round pick. Are we still going through all this?
I think so. It's just the way Stanovich likes to operate. I mean, Belton was a third round pick, right?
Yeah.
It's just those things that Stanovich loves, you know, getting all these guys reps. He loves his depth. He loves his versatility. It, again, weirdest thing I've ever seen a line guy do. But I think one of my favorite coaches in all of football is Adam Stanovich right now, because of the way he is very untraditional with his offensive linemen and the way they plan up run game. And I know the run game hasn't hit yet this season, but I think the passing game has been so effective that once teams stop loading the box, we're going to see some really exciting stuff
there. Last one for you, Tyler Brook. Look at this wide receiver core. Now with Jaden Reed out probably until sometime in November. Just want him back before the Lions game on Thanksgiving personally. Yeah. Who benefits from this at wide receiver? Because Christian Watson's coming back here next month. Uh-huh. You still have Wicks. You still have Matthew Golden out there. You still have Dobbs. Who benefits with Reed being out?
Yeah, I want to say Matthew Golden, but I still think it's just a chemistry thing between him and Love, and I'm not worried about that long term. Like, that big deep shot, that underthrow early on in the game, like, he's getting open. It's just like, that's going to be a timing thing, so not worried about that at all. But the big winner to me is Wicks. This is a guy that confidence was such an issue the past couple of years, and my biggest worry, it felt like Aaron Jones, before he left, was one of those big mentors for the younger receivers, and when he left, I was wondering if that was going to crush Wicks. That dude has come out and been flawless at wide receiver. His hands have been phenomenal, even from awkward, you know, situations. That dive to, you know, secure a catch instead of letting it hit the ground. Like, he's been incredibly reliable, and he's still an elite separator as a route runner. If his hands are there like it is right now, he is going to be a very real weapon in the coming weeks for the Packers.
He is Tyler Brook. Follow him on Twitter. I'm telling you, film analyst-wise, he's as good as they get, man. Follow him on Twitter at Tyler D. Brook. That's an E at the end of Brook. Tyler D. Brook. And again, search him on YouTube. That's where all of his stuff lives. Best available on YouTube. Search best available on YouTube. You will not regret it at all. Tyler, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, had a blast. Thanks, Sparky.
Absolutely. Take care. There he is, Tyler Brook, joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Hey, don't forget, coming up this afternoon, a Wisconsin Sports Daily served up by Wendy's. I'll be out on the road at the Broad House in Shorewood from 2 to 5 this afternoon, brought to you by Sun Cruiser Vodka Iced Tea. You're on 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan. And then Tommy Wirtz will be out there from 5 until 6:30 as well, doing the leadoff show powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. If we're being honest for these remotes that Tommy and I are doing back-to-back, really, people don't start showing up until Tommy comes on the air, if we're being honest. I mean, the bars really and the restaurants start filling up once his microphone turns on. You notice people starting to slowly walk in. By the time he's off the air, it's packed. Like, it happens every time. And I'm there in the afternoon chilling with a few people. Bartenders are talking to me. It's great. Tommy walks in and the crowds follow. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've definitely noticed it.
I have that effect on people as well. Not only do they want to hug me, they just want to see me in general. I'm sorry.
Yeah, which is great for the businesses that we're going to. Yes, it really is. At the Broad House in Shorewood today, Bart Winkler will be stopping by, and he'll be out with me from 2:30 to 3 o'clock this afternoon. Thunder is waving at me. He will be stopping by this afternoon. Andrew Wagner is not stopping by because he has to cover the Brewers at American Family Field, but he'll join us at 3 o'clock from American Family Field. this afternoon as well, and trying to track down Ryan Horvath of BetMGM tonight. Might have him on today as well. So a jam-packed show. Again, Broadhouse in Shorewood this afternoon from 2 to 5, and then 5 to 6:30, it's Tommy Wirtz and the leadoff show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. All of that brought to you by Sun Cruiser Vodka Iced Tea here on The Fan. Take a quick time out. Come back next. Tommy had this idea of let's rank the undefeated teams. We're going to put it up as a kind of like a poll question. Like, how would you rank these teams? Put them in order. We're going to discuss that coming up next. You've got the Packers.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Eagles, the Niners, Cardinals, and Bucks. So that's five teams. That should not be that confusing for those of you listening. Packers, Eagles, Niners, Cardinals, Bucks. Put them in order, 1 through 5. We'll take your calls and stuff coming up next. Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us and Facebook us at The Fan Milwaukee. Sound off with a recorded voice message on the Odyssey app, available for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, live from the 1250 AM at 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky in for Mason.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.